I don't know if it's necessary to say this, but the thought came to mind, so we will. When I first met His Excellency in San Diego, California, about 20 years ago, I was 3 weeks away from getting married. And when I heard the bishop's talk and was moved by what I heard, we completely changed our plans and revamped our whole way of life. And when we think of the word scandal, as I was mentioning earlier, it is true we don't want to cause scandal. But if scandal will come about as a result of the truth being made known, again I repeat, so be it. As hard as this is for the priests, for ourselves, if I were to die right now, I don't think I'd go to hell. I would most likely go to purgatory for a long, long time for not resolving this years ago. I tried to do it 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. And as you all know, the word went out, we had a mental problem. I didn't have a mental problem. I was approached by a brother who had come to me outside of the confessional before he left the community. And when he left the community, his father called us up and said, I want to talk to you with my son. And when his son called me up, he didn't use kind words in trying to get us to the phone. So I did go speak to him. For those of you who remember, on the eve of the circumcision, 2.5 years ago, we gave a talk and said something to the effect that if you think we've been through hell in the past, you just wait, because I knew it was going to happen. I went into the bishop's room and I said, Your Excellency, I talked to Frater Mary Aloysius and his father, and something has to be done. And we mentioned exactly what had taken place. Again, it was a moral issue. Next thing you know, and I had the flu or something at that time. Next thing you know, I was asked, do you want to go to a motel? And I said, uh-uh. I go to a motel, the word goes out, I've left the community. I'm staying right here. And then we started noticing the brothers running all over the place. I found out later there were all of these meetings with key men, and then the whole community, and the brothers and the sisters. And as Father Mary Benedict said, he was acting in good faith. And when the brothers and sisters heard what they heard, it was very hard for them. Because again, they accepted what they heard. And about 3 weeks later, when we came out of our room, we conducted each third order meeting, and we said to those of you that were there that we had been through a dark night of the soul, which we had been through and were still going through. But it was obvious there was nothing we could do at the time. There was nothing we could do. If we'd have done then what we're doing now, we would have gotten nowhere. Now, as I said, this is not something I started. One day after we had finished the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, as Father Mary Benedict pointed out, one of the clerics from the priory came to me and said, Father, brother so-and-so is going out of his mind. There's this problem he's got, and he told me what the problem was, and I said, you go back there and tell him that I told him through you, he cannot in any way do that. It is a sin. Make it very clear. And I said, go to every other brother in the priory and tell him the same thing. And that's when all hell broke loose. I hesitate to say more at this time. And when I'm talking about a moral issue, maybe some of you, because of the contradictions you've been going through, know what I'm talking about. If anyone wants to talk to me about it after Mass downstairs, I'll go in a little theater. Again, we're trying to be prudent. At this point, what is going to happen? It's all in Our Lady's hands. And if ever we've had an opportunity to be put into a situation where we have to depend totally on our Blessed Mother, this is it. What we're going to do, I really don't know what the next step is. The next step is in the hands of our Blessed Mother, as far as I'm concerned. The one thing I would like to mention to you that we mentioned to the nuns last night, because this is putting you and it put them in a difficult situation, I hope that those who are accusing will come forth and do so publicly. We are willing, in front of the entire community, to discuss any matter, any situation, publicly. I hope that you get clearly both sides of the issue. Not like we have been, or the priests have been, disobedient or disrespectful. If I've been disrespectful ever, I've confessed it. I believe that my mother went into a mental institution because she found out what the moral issue was. Now, I can't prove that infallibly, but I'm 99% sure that that's what took place, because of a letter that was seen at my parents' home by someone who left the community who was very much involved in that particular moral issue. And a little while later, all of a sudden, my mother is in a mental institution having a nervous breakdown. So I repeat, we are not trying to cause scandal, we're trying to stop it. It's gone on long enough. And we're asking you, for the love of God, if you love the soul of your bishop, in his hour of need, help him. That's what we're trying to do, and we're prevented from doing it. And so far as school is concerned, there will be school and classes will be conducted as normal. And I'm going to tell the brothers at the priory that we are going to ignore any and every direction we're given from the priory until we have an opportunity to talk to His Excellency. We're not going to take orders from those brothers. And again, I repeat, when we had spoken to medical consultants who know exactly what they're talking about, when someone tells you the bishop could drop dead right now, I think it's high time that someone did something about it. Now again, what's going to take place here, where we're going to be, I really don't know. Rather than to tell you and to put you in a compromising situation, you're better off not knowing. But I'm sure that if and when they find out at the priory that we're here, they won't believe it, because they don't know we are here. Again, I repeat, when the sisters were approached this morning, they said absolutely nothing. We want a chance to talk to the superiors. I'd like to talk to the superiors that went to that secret meeting. What is there to hide? For the first time, for many, many years, I am beginning to have peace of soul for the first time in many, many years. And my hand may be shaking as I hold the microphone, and I may have butterflies and not too much of an appetite, but I do have a little bit of peace of soul. And I repeat, we are sick and tired of covering up for sin and immorality and things that are going on that are completely and totally contrary to the will of God. So that is our position. I am not against anyone or anything except sin. I am not after anything except the salvation of my immortal soul. And if everyone were to, in this church, get up and leave, I can't help that. I told Father Mary Benedict, and we say many things and just babbling, I guess, when we're saying it, that we'll talk to the people and ask them if they want me to take the property out of my name and put it in someone else's name, I'll do it. If that's what you want. It's not my property. I have vows of poverty. But I thank God over and over again that it's not in the name of someone who would betray you and use what you paid for, not for good reasons. The concern for the Mount, for Mount St. Michael's, there was very, very, very little concern from anyone over there at the Priory about Mount St. Michael's. We're never given any money for anything. We're supposed to pay all of the bills with what? I have no idea. And that's why we took it upon ourselves to call the people up, ask them for money, tell you to some degree what has been done with the money in the past, so that we really don't lose Mount St. Michael's. And insofar as Mount St. Michael's, it'll be lost over my dead body. So as we offer up the holy sacrifice of the Mass, let us commend this whole situation to our Blessed Mother. I want to repeat one more time so you have this clear in your mind. I have been given faculties, as the other priests have, by His Excellency when we were ordained. When we were ordained, the problem, the moral issue existed then, and while there was a medical problem, was nothing like it is now. We have done some research, and so far as faculties are concerned, and we are certainly well within our rights as Catholic priests to operate on the faculties that we have been given until this matter is resolved. And again, I repeat, if we had ulterior motives, I told those brothers, if we had ulterior motives, you have no idea what we could have secretly done and planned without their even getting an inkling of it. I think we have bent over backwards, and they're the ones that started, as I said, with their secret meetings last night. So we had our own meeting. It wasn't secret. We taped it. And we're having this meeting this morning. There may be people here or people that are not here. I don't know what is going to take place after this holy sacrifice of the Mass, because there was a schedule called around and we took it upon ourselves to change that schedule so that you would all be here as a group. Because no doubt some will probably, I hope not, some will probably leave the church and start calling up and trying to get through to the Priory. You won't get through anyway, by the way, if anyone's going to do that. You won't get through anyway. We've tried dozens of times, and the phone just rings and rings and rings and rings, or it's off the hook. But let us put this in the hands of Our Lady and pray very hard, and don't do anything rashly. You've heard us say, for every problem there is a Catholic solution, and that Catholic solution is primarily prayer. Don't act before you think. Don't act rashly. And I repeat, if you hear something coming out like the priests have been excommunicated and censored, etc., etc., suspended, there's no grounds for it. And if anyone wants to discuss it publicly, we'd be very, very, very happy to do so. Matter of fact, that's what we're trying to do, and we can't get anywhere. So we're going to, at this time, close with a Hail Mary, ask the priests to come to the sanctuary, in the middle of the sanctuary with us. We will give you our blessing. The communion and novena will be prayed, and then we will have the holy sacrifice of the Mass. If anyone from the priory comes to the 11 o'clock Mass to hear what's being said, it's too late. It's already been said. 20 minutes to 11, and it's already been said. So again, we commend this to our Blessed Mother. If you kneel at this time, we'll say Hail Mary together and give you our blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the priest could join us.
The following talk was given on Monday, June 4th, 1984, by Father Dennis Philomena Marie in the gymnasium at Mount St. Michael to all of the adults of the community.
We did not have any idea this morning that we were going to have this meeting tonight, but there were incidents that took place in the course of the day that we thought you should be made aware of. And also up to this point, still with the hope of maybe being able to talk to the bishop, we have been a little bit prudent in the words that we've chosen so as to avoid scandal. But after we explain to you what had happened today, I think you will agree with us that it's time to stop being prudent and to simply come out with everything. We were told yesterday evening, I believe it was, when Father Afe Marie and Frater Louis Marie left for San Jose for the funeral mass of Mrs. Diaz, that the brothers that were at the priory, the three that we mentioned, and four or five others, had rented a large van and were in the process of emptying the priory of all of its contents. Exactly what is being put in there, I really don't know, but we were told the church files were being put in there, and all of the furniture, and again, I'm not quite sure exactly what. One of the brothers that was there left. He didn't want to be there in the first place, but was, again, in a state of confusion and so forth and so on. He just left and called his parents and then came up here to the mount and made us aware of this. So we called up one of the men in the community and asked what they thought we should do. Should we go there or what? Get a gang of brothers and some men, and we were told that they had guns. So we thought, well, will it be worthwhile to go there in the middle of the night and have someone get shot? So we decided we would wait and take down the license number and let them pull away from the priory and then report the vehicle to the police and say that I am the owner of the priory and I came home and all the furniture's gone, and try to get it confiscated. Anyway, the van was still there, and we call up the police and wanted to see what they would say, and they said, well, there's really nothing they could do about it. They said, in other words, you're having some kind of an internal problem. And I said, well, if you want to call it that, I guess you could. And they said, well, there's really nothing we can do about it because, well, you know, they'll say it's their stuff and you say it's your stuff, so you should probably take care of it in court. So we called an attorney here and asked him about probably getting, what would you have to do to have the truck impounded? Just let the court take it, or the state take it, until we go before a judge, if we have to, and then you know, take out the church files at least. And when we talked to the attorney, we said we would like to somehow get the lay people in the community, in the parish, it's their files, really, to sign their names on a piece of paper and some kind of a legal document saying that these are the parishioners and they don't want their files off somewhere else where they don't know where they could have access to them. Anyway, we were just talking about all of this with the attorney. In the meantime, we came back to the mount and talking to the brothers, you know, wondering what to do. We had brothers sitting outside of the priory in the car, just watching. Father Mary Benedict called him up, said, "Praise be Jesus and Mary." And one of the brothers said, "Yeah." And Father says, "Can't you say at least now and forever?" And he says, "Not for you. We can't." So again, they are really, really in a bad state. So two can play the same game. So a group of brothers went up there and went into the priory property by the back in the woods. And another brother went in by the front way and had a loudspeaker, a portable speaker, and began to use that portable speaker. So the brothers in the priory ran out and were going towards where the portable speaker was, and the ones in the woods came out, ran to the green van which was packed, jumped into the van and took off with it. And then sounds like a mystery story. Then one of the brothers in the priory began shooting at the van, supposedly trying to shoot the tires out. But anyway, when that was reported, we thought, no more time for messing around. We have to be, unfortunately, in spite of the scandal that it may cause for some of you, because some of you already know about what I'm going to say, it's time for us to be blunt and to try to impress upon you that what is going on now is diabolical, and the only one who is able to stop what is taking place is our Blessed Mother. The police were called up after this shooting incident, and they evidently went up and talked to someone, and they came back and told Father, "Oh, we took care of that." Now, what do they do, pat him on the head and tell him not to shoot it? I don't know what they did, but the brothers are still there. So we sent the two brothers. When the brother that had the gun started shooting, one of the brothers from here grabbed a hold of his arm, came out of the woods, grabbed a hold of his arm, wrestled with him, knocked a gun down on the ground, and the van took off, and they took off. But we sent them down to the police station to press charges, because again, we can't get into the priory, and the police won't do anything about it. As a matter of fact, the police told one of the clerics, they said, the people aren't too friendly up there, and they acted a little apprehensive about going into the priory themselves. Yesterday afternoon, or yesterday morning, I was told by the brother that left the priory. The bishop left because he was in fear of his life, and he's with someone now, and they have him supposedly in safe keeping. We're supposed to be looking for the bishop, and we're trying to harm the bishop. Again, they're the ones that have the guns. What I'm going to say now, I realize what the commandments say, and so far as detraction is concerned. But again, weighing matters, pros and cons, I'm going to give you one explanation so far as pro. Two of the people here went up the driveway into the priory, talked to the brothers for a few minutes evidently, and left the priory completely convinced that we were liars and what we're saying was not true. Curiosity killed a cat. They were told that the bishop told them that he received from, I don't know who, myself or Father Mary Benedict, the ultimatum that he consecrate someone or that he leave. Now, I don't know how anyone could have told him that. We haven't seen him to tell him. We've not been permitted to see him. On the bulletin board yesterday morning at the priory, I don't know if you knew this, the Jacobs and Mrs. McCullough were called to the Priory sometime the night before. And again, I don't know exactly what they were told, but no one had any idea that we were back. We're supposed to be in San Jose. No one had any idea that there was a 9 o'clock Mass, because it was an 11 o'clock Mass scheduled. And by the time they found out about it, it was too late to stop it. And Mr. Jacobs was sent here, and he was given the daily duty to go up in the choir loft and to scream and yell from the choir loft during the offertory of the Mass. Now, he was there for the last 10 minutes of the talk that we gave yesterday. And he, as a matter of fact, he told Mrs. McCullough, the way I know this, six of the nuns that, again, are completely don't know what I'm going to be telling you in a few minutes, and they're in a state, they were at Mrs. McCullough's. Two of them have since left. I mean, they've left Mrs. McCullough's. We talked with them last night, and they just said, Father, we're confused, and we don't know what the heck's going on, et cetera, et cetera. They're only hearing the other side of the story. Mr. Jacobs was there at Mass, and he heard us say, no doubt someone from the Priory will be sent over to listen to what's being said at the 11 o'clock Mass, but it's 20 minutes of 11, and they're a little bit too late. And he told Mrs. McCullough, he says, you know, I know I was supposed to yell out, but he says, I don't know what to say. He says, because what I did hear, what little I did hear, he heard us say that we're concerned for His Excellency. And he said, what was I going to say? So he didn't say anything. Anyway, 2.5 years ago, as was told you yesterday at Mass, or before Mass, something took place that involved a moral issue, and I brought it to the bishop, and I got nowhere. And as I told you, I was asked if I wanted to go to a motel to rest, and if I would have, I know what the next step would have been. The word would have gone out that I left the community, and I didn't want to do it. And no doubt the reason this took place is because the time was not yet ripe for this to take place. I am not in any way, I want to make this very clear, in any way questioning His Excellency's ordination or consecration. I am not in any way denying that Our Lady used His Excellency as an instrument, but I am saying that at some point in time things got so bad, and you began to experience the effects of what took place. The bishop had an operation in 1971. This was, or 72, I believe it was, after he had been consecrated a bishop. As a result of that operation, there were complications, and he had to take medication because of those complications, and has been taking that medication since. And unfortunately, it has had its toll, to the point that the problem that existed even before became compounded to such a degree that it has become completely uncontrollable. And humanly speaking, I didn't know what to do. Again, when we tried to do something 2.5 years ago, we were completely shot down and didn't know what to do other than to keep praying and just waited. And finally, as we said, this incident repeated itself in such a way that we finally decided to take a stand, come what may. Some of you watched the TV program on Channel 4 when there was a series of presentations that had to do with various aspects of the community. One of them had to do with the school, and another one had to do with brainwashing and cult, et cetera, et cetera. And the other one had to do, one of them had to do with His Excellency when four former brothers who had their faces, I didn't see it, I heard it, four former brothers were being questioned by the reporter insofar as being molested sexually, and they said they were. And then when they asked the bishop if this were true, he made statements to the effect that I can't
respond to that because it's confessional matter, and they have a problem anyway. In other words, saying it's not true. Well, I'm telling you that it is true, and that's the problem. When I met His Excellency 20 years ago and heard one of his lectures, I told you yesterday that we gave up everything and changed our whole life in order to work and spread the message of Fatima and work for Our Lady. And I personally came into contact with this problem, and it shocked me, and I had no idea what to do or what to say. And it was presented to me in a way that it had to do, it was something due to an illness, and like he almost didn't know what he was doing, et cetera, et cetera. And it just drove me into a state, and finally I left the community when it just first started. And when I left, I took one of the vehicles and raced about 90 miles an hour out of here with the intention of never coming back. This was 1966 or 1967 when the community first started. I went to a monastery at Mount Angels and made a retreat there, and at the time there was a priest that was still saying the old Latin Mass. And I began a novena to St. Teresa, the Little Flower, and my intention was, after this retreat, I'm going back to California. And because I just, again, totally wiped out in my mind. On the ninth day of the novena, we went to the library there and we found a book on the life of St. Philomena and St. John Marie Vianney. And I opened that book and there was a big rose on the back cover, and I said, oh, shucks. Because the purpose of the novena was to determine whether I should go back here or go back to California, and I really did not want to come back here in Coeur d'Alene, so I did anyway. And when I came back, I had a real good talk with His Excellency. He was not the bishop then. And I thought that the matter was cleared up to the point that it was at least going to be worked on, if you know what I mean. With the help of God's grace, anything, any problem can be overcome. And this is what was going to happen, I thought. And unknown to me, evidently, there were still problems. And again, a sin is a sin. And you've heard us say this from the pulpit. A sin is a sin, and it doesn't change anything insofar as if I'm sinning without you knowing, I'm still a priest. I can still say Mass. If I was in a state of mortal sin, it would be a sacrilege for me, but you still receive the sacraments. And you've heard also mentioned from the pulpit that in the past church history there have been popes that have been so immoral and lived a life that it's unbelievable, some of the things that happened, popes being murdered by, and then the person, the murderer, becomes a pope, and etc., and illegitimate children being ordained. Again, it's disgusting what has taken place in church history, but in spite of that, the church lives on. But anyway, from time to time we found out that this problem still existed, and every time we did, I went in and talked to His Excellency, and if that's when I was disrespectful, then I guess I was. And again, our primary concern was to get this thing resolved. When Bishop Brown came into the picture, and we were told about him, that thought was on my mind too. What's going to happen now if he becomes a priest, a bishop, etc.? And again, we had talks with the bishop, and he assured us that there would be no problem, and with the help of God's grace, you know, he could resolve this matter. And he was ordained, consecrated. And those of you that were here at the time remember, for the first year after his consecration, he said Mass very, very often. He heard confessions late into the night and was very, very active as a priest and a bishop. And it seemed, again, as if, you know, this personal matter had been resolved. Anyway, once the medication was taken, and it was at the time a necessity because of his complications, we began to notice that the longer the medication was taken, the more the problem was compounded. And when I mentioned to you the reason we wanted to talk to the bishop, we wanted to say to him, number one, try to get him to agree to go on some kind of a program where the medication would be at least reduced to the point that he would have full use of his faculties and would be in control of himself, and let's tackle the other problem again, and this time do it once and for all. And again, he knew we wanted to mention that to him because we told enough brothers about it, and we never got the opportunity to do so. Some of the lay people, I have been told, and some of the religious, we already talked to some of the sisters downstairs, have been told that in the year 1978 on pilgrimage, that Our Lady had crowned or coronated His Excellency as the Pope. Now, I don't know how many of you have heard this, but the reason I was not told was because I was not living my holy slavery and would not accept it. That's what I was told by someone who was told not to tell me. Now, the day that someone who says that sin is not sin is coronated as the Pope, as far as I'm concerned, there are going to be two moons in the sky. I don't believe it. Our Lady at Marienfree talked about faults, signs, and wonders. And I think, unfortunately, there are too many people putting their faith in faults, signs, and wonders instead of the truths of our Holy Catholic faith. By 1978, His Excellency was well along the way insofar as his use of medication was concerned. And you remember the bishop himself many, many times, especially the young people probably remember this at the Spiritu seminars, pointing out how the use of drugs can be used by the devil as a means of creating some real problems, and putting it mildly. And I believe that this is what has taken place. I still have in my heart a desire to help the bishop. He is in a state now that he does not want to be helped. Again, when brothers start packing guns, and that's what they're doing at the priory, holsters with a gun in the holster. And when also in the priory is an M16 Tommy gun or machine gun, I just start to get a little bit worried and concerned. And I hope and pray that you have enough common sense not to go up there and to start talking to them, because the only thing you will get in return is that we threatened His Excellency and said, either consecrate someone or leave, and that is an absolute lie, because we have not even had an opportunity to see him and to talk to him. Father Mary Benedict told me that when he saw some of those brothers there at the priory, they looked like demons. This is the word that he used. I mean, they are totally unaware of what the heck's going on. Sister Mary Agnes and one of the other sisters who had been called to the secret meeting, after leaving the meeting, again was in a state of, my gosh, what's going on? Because I talked to Sister Mary Agnes every single day over the past 10 days to tell her what was going on, so that if 10 days later I disappear and another story comes out, she would be able to at least say that she heard what I had to say. And I knew that what I was telling her was going to Brother Mary Fidelis and in turn was going to the bishop. But again, it was obvious to us that this was probably the only way that we were going to get our information across. Yesterday, we found out where the sisters were that left. They went, came to the convent and packed and left. There were six of them. They went to Mrs. McCullough's house. And again, Mrs. McCullough, the Jacobs, and the brothers and sisters there, except for the three, are totally unaware of what's taking place. I feel sorry for them because, again, they're doing in good faith, and they really think that you know, they're saving the church, et cetera, et cetera. So I would ask you to pray for them that somehow they will realize what the heck's going on. But anyway, Sister Mary Agnes and Sister Mary Raphael left McCullough's. I think they went to Coeur d'Alene. I can't get all these thoughts straight in my mind. But eventually, they came up to Mount St. Michael's, and they told Father they wanted to talk to me. I was in a hotel downtown. No one knew where I was. And when they told her where I was, I started packing because I didn't know whether she was going to get on the phone and call someone else and tell them where I was. But anyway, we did pack, and we waited for her, and she came, and we talked to them, and I told them what I'm telling you, and they began to cry and said they were sorry. They had no, you know, all they've been getting 5 hours from one of the brothers over there, this stuff. I also found out today that a lot of the money that was put in banks has been withdrawn, and they have it. I want to get it because it's money that is supposed to be used for the church. The green van that was taken out had some money, so we get some back, and the van is parked here. If they want it, let them come and get it. And the thing is, it's not in their name, it's in our name. And you will tell the police this, and they say there's nothing we can do about it. We're finding out about the Mickey Mouse situation in the police department. They won't help you unless someone's dead. So again, what's going to take place later on, I really don't know, but I am not going to hold back anymore, make excuses. And as I said, I will have to answer to God for having taken so long to come forth with some of this, but I didn't know, really, it was as bad as it was. I mean, I knew there were problems, but I had no idea of some of the things that were taking place. I remember that last year, my name was being taken off the checking accounts and the savings accounts, etc. This was done very gradually. We found out from one of the brothers that was there in the middle of all of this that last Monday, that's a week ago, while we were still waiting to see the bishop, all the accounts were depleted. So as we were waiting, they were making their plans too. So again, if it's necessary to press charges, I'm going to do it. Because what they're doing is wrong. And as I said before, the scandal is, it's out. The police were at the Priory today. 5 squad cars, I was told, were at the Priory today. And again, what the next step is, I don't know. We're in the process of trying to contact the ones at the Priory, and we will give them certain things out of the green van if they give us the church files. And if they don't do it, we'll, I don't know, let's wait till Our Lady somehow arranges for us to get it. In spite of all of this mess, again, I want to repeat to you, there is no reason for us to lose our faith. There is no reason for us not to stick together, to attend the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and to receive the sacraments, and to make an effort to begin to live an orderly life instead of the chaos and the confusion.